Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, the Anointed One, His anointing is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Faith speaks. Righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. I have had people say this to my face, and others said it behind my back. That Copeland doesn't preach the whole counsel of God. I don't know the whole counsel of God. Now, I know what they're trying to say. I just preach on one thing all the time. Yes, that's my job. That is my job. We're at a place right now in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. We are being required by the Spirit of God to have understanding of what I'm about to share with you. The ministry of a pastor comes more closely qualified to preach the whole counsel of God, but still, you don't just preach all over the place. It is very, very necessary for a pastor to know the calling of the church and stay in that flow of the calling of the church. This is a faith church. This is a church with the same calling as its founder, which was me. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. So, what I want to talk to you about today, there are those that are called and anointed to teach and preach praise and worship and glory.
Amen.
There are people called in that flow. And you hear people say, well, they're not in our camp. I'll tell you, I despise that term. I despise it. I was visiting with Kelly about it just in the last few days, and it's not in our camp. Come on, we don't have a camp. Absolutely, we don't have a camp. We're the kingdom of God. We are the church, glory to God. And thank God for people who know to what they're called. And stay in it, glory to God. And don't venture out of it. There are specialists. Now we've learned this. Let's take the most exact example and illustration that I know. There are general practitioners, general family medicine. Amen. That would be more like the pastor. But even a general practitioner knows to whom and to what he or she is called. Now, our family is most blessed. Glory to God. Lindsay, Kelly's daughter, my granddaughter, thank you very much. Lindsay married a young medical doctor. And Alex is Hispanic, and he's in the latter time of his residency right now. They're in Fresno, California. Now here's a man, highly qualified in two different languages to two different people. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And every time I pray for them, every time I hold them, I just see millions of books, glory to God, because he knows exactly what part of medicine into which he's called. He's called into preventive medicine. Much like Dr. Colbert, most of you here are acquainted with or know him, are acquainted with what he does. Now, what if you have a Dr. Colbert that's very, very fluent in English and Spanish? Oh, come on. See what I'm talking about? So now here's my grandson now that knows to whom he's called and to what he's called. And he's in it. Amen.
Amen.
That's where his wealth is.
Amen.
That's where his wealth is. So what's he doing? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Come on. Come on. Now, what does he do if a patient comes to him and they're diagnosed with cancer? Well, the first thing he's going to do is teach and preach.
Yes.
Amen. And do what he knows to do concerning that patient's divine healing as well as medical science. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
But there is available to him specialists in that field. Amen.
Amen.
Can you see where I'm going with it? Now, so what would happen if Alex takes his patient to see the specialist? Are they going to fight with one another?
No.
Now, I don't believe in what you do. You're not in our camp.
No. Come on.
That is the definition of stupid.
It sure is.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, there are people called Oh, I'm telling you, I have such just glorious opportunities in this area. Two young men that are especially precious to me. One of them is Michael Koulianos, who is Benny Hinn's son-in-law. And the other is Todd White. Now, these young men, miracles come on. There's one, Kelly was in the meeting. And I got to watch it on video. My goodness, this woman had been totally blind for a number of years. I mean, completely blind. Her husband had gone home to be with the Lord. And she, after several years, had remarried. She'd never seen her husband's face. I mean, it had been that long, you know, long time. And so she came up. Kelly, help me if I start telling this wrong, you jump in, okay? And they were up. Michael had people up on the platform, and he was ministering to different ones. And she came up there for ministry. All of a sudden, like that. I can see.
Hallelujah.
Am I getting it right, Kelly? Just like that.
Amen.
Totally got her eyesight, completely got her eyesight back. She's just simply beside herself. She's just completely beside herself. Well, her very, very good friend had gone up there with her, and she knew her back before Satan stole her eyesight. And she said, she saw her, I'm so thrilled. She said, I have somebody I want to introduce you to. She said, okay. And she turned around and looked at this man. She said, I would like to introduce your husband to you. And when he said something, she knew his voice. How would you like to have some of that in your life in ministry? They are glory specialists. They have lived in it, walked in it. Praise and worship. Brother Hagin said, if you praise God long enough, the spirit of worship will fall. And when you begin to worship God, the glory comes.
Amen.
And they have lived in that and walked in that and believed that and developed in that. Amen.
Amen.
But now when it came to taking a situation, going to the Word of God, get the answer to the prayer, and then go to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25, take a stand in the book of Ephesians, glory to God, having done all to stand therefore. With the full armor of God on, and don't you ever turn loose, don't you ever let go. And they were really wanting to know about that. And so they began to kind of hound me. They didn't have to hound me, but about 30 seconds, you know. And so they'd come out here to my hangar office where nobody bothers. And we just talk and talk and talk. I say, talk about the glory. No, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about faith. Well, I'm wanting to hear about glory. I'm wanting to know what they're doing, you know. Amen. I want to talk about faith, man. Let's talk about faith. How do you do this thing? How do you get out of debt and stay out of debt?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The streams are merging. The streams are merging. A trickle becomes a stream, which becomes a river, which becomes a flood.
Yes, sir.
And floods are not containable. Somebody ought to shout amen over there. Hallelujah. Thank Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're there. We're in the midst of this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You'll have. Now, don't try to anoint yourself. Just make yourself available.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, first of all, no fruit of the Spirit, no gifts of the Spirit. Remember what we talked about last year, the big 18? Well, the fruit comes first. I said the fruit comes first. And when you look at it, love, it starts off with God. So you could say it like this. Love and joy because it's God. Peace because it's in Jesus. And it's in you. Now that needs to be developed. You start by developing that. That's where it all starts right there. Amen. And then you walk in that. You be very, 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 very cautious about strife and unforgiveness. I mean, you fight it like you fight a snake that crawled into your kitchen. What if you walked into, you got a little child asleep in the bed and you walk in there and there's a diamondback rattlesnake laying coiled up right there underneath that bed? Whoa. I'm going to tell you, fury would come all over you. Now, you'd be afraid of a snake if it's outside, but it's in there where your baby is. I'm telling you, you grab a shotgun. I know what. You grab anything you can get your hands on and kill that rascal. Well, there's something a whole lot more dangerous than a natural snake when you've allowed unbelief and you've allowed strife and unforgiveness to worm its way into your life, and you need to get mad about it, and you need to get strong about being mad about it. I'm telling you, furious about it. Yes. You're not coming to my house, devil. Yes. You're not coming into my ministry. You're not getting in my mouth. I will not allow it. You can't do it in the name of Jesus. So, help me God. What did I say? So help me God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Streams coming together. And all of them, say, all of them, all of them, healing streams. If you know Jesus, you've got a healing ministry. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I began this portion of this thing, but don't try to anoint yourself. Just be available.
Amen.
See, the anointing came in you when you got born again. Read 1 John chapter 2. Amen. The unction. Same word for anointing. Exactly the same word in Spanish. Right, Rafael?
Unción.
Unción. Amen. Exactly the same word. Unction to function. Glory to God. The anointing to live.
Amen.
Praise God. Every born again believer that has received and walks in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. Every one of us, regardless to what you are called, whether you're called as a school teacher, whether you're called to be in business, or whether you're called as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or whether you're called in the ministry of health, or whether you're called to be a student, every born again, Holy Ghost baptized believer has the potential for every gift of the Spirit.
Amen.
Every one of them. Every one of them. There are two that especially come to mind to me right now in talking about this. A young man whom I know very well. When he was just a teenager, had a malignant tumor on the brain. And the surgeon, this took place at the City of Faith in the ministry of Oral Roberts. This is back before the City of Faith was turned into something else. And he was operating on him to remove that tumor from his brain. He went in there praying in the Spirit. He went in there praying in tongues. And just as he began to make that incision, the Spirit of God said, stop. Now he's praying in tongues. He said, if you make the standard cut, you'll kill him. What is that? Word of knowledge. Yes. Yes. And showed him exactly where to place that blade. Exactly where to place it. That young man is alive and well and in the ministry today. Word of knowledge function. Amen.
Don't understand why the gifts of healing didn't work and he just healed him on the spot.
The key word there is you don't understand. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The gifts of healing worked. The young man's healed. The gifts of healing worked. Amen. The supernatural gifts of healing to manifest and just destroy that tumor were functioning in a different stream. Amen. And manifested as the word of knowledge. Earnestly covet the best gifts. The best gift. What is the best gift? The one you need at the time. Amen. Amen. So, and you could really get in and work with this in lots of different ways. But I use that to reveal this to us. Don't try to pick your gift out. Just be a gift. Now, when there is an office of ministry, then there are certain gifts that function more predominantly as tools of the trade. Praise God. Now, Dwayne is one of these men that's anointed to preach in both languages, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that thrills me. I'm set up in 2020 for total immersion again.
Amen.
Gloria a Dios.
Gloria a Dios.
Amen. Muchas gracias, amigo. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is the manifested ministry of Jesus. Now, Jesus ministered in the world, in the earth, when he was here in the flesh, predominantly as a prophet. Predominantly as a prophet and a teacher. And he taught more than anything else. Now check it out. study and work with and make a study of the gifts of the Spirit, and then go to the First Testament and spot the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, the ones that are not in the Old Testament, they are, it's mentioned, but it's not manifest, are tongues and interpretation of tongues. That came after Jesus was raised from the dead and in the time of the church. Amen. Now, when you get over into areas like, do all speak with tongues? Do all work miracles? Don't get hung up and confused in that. It was the norm that everybody that got born again got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. That was the norm until foolish people messed it up, because listen, that's the most dangerous thing to Satan there is. You go to walking in that kind of power, my, the biggest thing he could do is get you to believe that that's gone somewhere else. But he's a liar.
Yes, he is.
And the father of it.
That's right. Amen.
And deserves everything he gets.
Amen.
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 No, that's talking about, do all speak with tongues? That's talking about, do all operate in diverse kinds of tongues as a ministry gift? Are you listening to me? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No, of course not. Do all minister in tongues? No. Do all minister in the interpretation of tongues? No. It's available. Amen. But everybody that's born again ought to be a tongue talker. Because the baptism with and in the Holy Spirit of God is the gateway to the supernatural. Whoa! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Supernaturally communicating with your Father. Oh, my. And people kind of skirt around it, you know, and say, well, no. And the minute you start that, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't try. Yeah, but do I have to speak in tongues? No, you get to.
That's right.
Oh, but Brother Copeland, what? You know what you're whining about? You don't want to give up your tongue. I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. No, you're not. And besides that, you know better than that. Have you never said the wrong thing? Did God? Of course he didn't. Would a son ask for food and a father give him a serpent?
No.
Absolutely not. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask
him?
And give you that language. Amen. With which you can communicate with him. Out, you can truly get out of your mind. You can truly get out of your mind. I've had people say to me, Copeland, you're out of your mind. I say, yeah, don't bother me. Don't bother me. I don't want back in there. I don't want back in my mind. I want in my spirit with God. The only mind I want into is the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So help me, Jesus. Oh, I love him. Don't you love him this morning? Come on, give him some more praise. Give him some more honor. Somebody woke up this morning with a very, very sore throat. Is that somebody in the building here? Or is that someone online? Come up here, baby.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gloria, would you come help me, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't have sore throats at EMIC. Yeah, EMIC. You'll get that later. Amen. Don't you love Jesus?
I do.
Isn't it wonderful you don't have to have sore throats around here?
Yep.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gloria, put your hand right here, right there. No, up, right in there, yeah.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus. Take a big swallow.
Good.
Yeah, it's good, huh? Yeah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach here. Now, we preach the word of faith. That is the mainstream of this church and the calling of this ministry. Amen. Now, everything then that has to do with faith. Faith worketh by love. Well, I don't care what calling, what stream you're flowing in and through, and what's flowing through you. Oh, we all preach the love of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. We all preach the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We all preach and teach and flow in the love of God. Hallelujah. And we all do what we do by faith. The difference, and hey, when I'm talking about Michael Koulianos, I'm talking about Daniel Kolinda, I'm talking about Reinhard Bonnke, I'm talking about these great men and women of God, Marilyn Hickey, glory to God. That woman, I tell you, glory to God. She just puts her scarf on and goes right in among the Muslims and has healing meetings, and they just come by the tens of thousands. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Bold as a lion.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And boldness is another thing. Now, we must, in line with the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we must begin to seek and ask and believe we receive more boldness. Boldness to do, boldness to act. It's easy in here this morning. But we're talking about on the street. At Todd White, I tell you, he beats all I ever saw. I mean to tell you, he for a long time, his wife would not go to the grocery store with him. She would not go. He just walked in the grocery store, you know, the thing where it says, hello, Walmart shoppers, you know that microphone?
Yeah.
He'd just go in the grocery store and say, may I borrow your microphone? And yeah, there is an anointing up here at the cash register for healing of ears. Anybody has any problem, I'm telling you what, he actually did this over and over again. Anybody that has any problem with your ears, come on up here. And people start coming up there, ganging up around the checkout stand and getting healed, just getting healed all over the place.
Yeah.
Now that's boldness with a capital B. It's necessary. It's necessary in the kingdom. How do you become that bold? You ask for it. You find the scripture on it. And you believe you receive it. And then you act on it. Oh, Brother Copeland. No, you ain't ready yet. Amen. It's a lot easier than you think it is. It's like everything else, John. You take that first step and it comes on you. It just comes on you. Amen. Glory to God. I've had it happen on the street. Thank you, Lord. I'd have the Lord say, pray for her. Particularly the people that in wheelchairs and things like that, more wheelchairs than anything else where I'm personally concerned. Pray for that person. Yes, sir. Amen. May I pray for you? I've never had one of them yet say, nah, I don't believe in that stuff. Every one of them said, oh, yes, please do. Yes, please do. Years and years ago, in a meeting we had in Lubbock, Texas, people were staying away by the thousands. And so, and it was in the middle of summertime, and it was hot. This is back in the 70s. And I personally knew a real estate man there. And this is the plan that the Lord gave me. And so I called him. I said, I want you to take me to the poorest part of Lubbock, Texas. So he did, and we drove down through that neighborhood. And the Lord said, now we had been there 21 days, and this was the last Saturday of the meeting, and we're having a healing service. So, and the word of the Lord came to me. Now this is where boldness comes. You're walking in a neighborhood you've never been in before. And we had certain ground rules. We're going two by two. And we're going to each house, and we cannot mention the meeting. Not until we're ready to leave that place. You cannot mention the meeting. Our ground rule was from the Lord. We are people that know how to pray. Is there anyone in this house that needs prayer? We're here to pray. And we paired off. I was paired with a young man named Joe Mulford, who just went home to be with the Lord here just a few weeks ago. Oh, what a man of God. And different ones were paired up. Anyway, and going down the street, knocking on these doors. One place that Gloria knocked on the door. And who was your partner, Gloria? I don't remember who. Anyway.
Somebody.
Huh? Jesus was your partner. Yeah. Yeah, he was. Anyway, Gloria and her partner knocked on this one, and this woman looked out the window. And she, Gloria asked him, said, is there anyone here that needs prayer? She said, oh, don't go away. Don't go away. And so they stood out there for a little bit. George, she changed clothes and kind of straightened up a little bit. Poor neighborhood. And then invited Gloria and her partner in. Joe and I went into one. I knocked on the door, and this woman opened a little peek out like that. And I said that, you know, is there anyone here that needs prayer? You boys Pentecost? I said, yes, ma'am, we are. She said, okay, but now wait a minute. She said, we going to sister's house. So we didn't go in her house. We went to sister's house, which was up out back behind her house. And we walked in there. She's talking all the way, you know, going. She said, now, sister, she's talking about, you know, how she thinks it had happened to her, and she's kind of spaced out. And I look back on it, and I think probably it was Alzheimer's, but nobody said anything, but, you know, just dementia. So anyway, we walked in there, Joe and I, and she said, you know, this old neighborhood's gotten so bad. She said, I don't get out and go to church anymore. I can't. That she said, I've been praying and asking somebody to come help me pray for sister. I'm so glad you boys are here. And so we walked in there, and we just, of course, walked over there to sister. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she said, well, glory to God. Where'd you boys come from? She said, sister, can you see them? Why, of course you can. I can see them. Look in that refrigerator there and get them a Dr. Pepper. She was blind.
Wow.
Diabetes had taken her eyesight. Didn't know anything or anybody. Just that quick, received her healing. Just began to pray in the spirit, and so did I, and so did sister. Glory to God. And so did Joe. Amen. Now, this happened all day long. Just people opening the door. Boldness to go. Boldness to speak. Not one said, no, nah, don't be coming in here. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. And then we told them, now we're having a healing service on Saturday morning if y'all want to come at the fairgrounds. And whoa, the parking lot was full. It was 106 degrees. Phew. I had a little bottle of oil sitting on the little platform there that was about this high. And I was standing here in front of it. The podium was right there, and I had this little bottle of oil sitting there. Well, we had had quite a prayer line that day. I'm laying hands on a different one. And there were three incidences, but this one I wanted to tell you. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, brother, this dear woman come up there in front of me. Oh, and she's just talking about that she was really sick and so forth. So I took that bottle of oil. And, you know, you usually, you know, you do this. I did this. That oil's 106 degrees. I didn't think about it being that. Man, she took off. She's dancing all over that parking lot and shouting, amen, glory to God. She said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Well, I want you to know, here come the meanest looking man I believe the meanest looking man I've ever seen in my life. Well, no, second meanest. He was a young African-American man. He had a scar. Tim, that thing came, I don't know how far it went up into his hair. It came down like this, right across here, all the way down his face and into his shirt collar. Just a raunchy thing sticking up there like that. He walked up there to me and he said, I want to be saved. I said, you come to the right place. Laid hands on him, and he and I just praised God. Didn't get, you know, big loud about it or anything. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Had on bib overalls. But man, I'm telling you what, he's a nasty looking dude in the face. About a year later, young man walked up to me. I mean, bright looking young guy, just full of the joy of the Lord. He said, Brother Kenneth, you don't recognize me, do you? I said, well, you look really familiar to me, man. But he said, he told me about love. Then I could see that scar. It was so faint, you could hardly see it. Praise the Lord. Eternal life of God. had changed his whole appearance and everything about him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what was the key issue to this? Number one, listen to God. He has the answer. Number two, be bold enough to carry it out when you receive it. You're going to have to go into something we had never done before, had never seen before. I never talked to anybody before that had ever asked for the poorest place in town. But the Lord said, that's what he said, do. Don't call your friends and neighbors. Call the lame, the blind, the halt, and the poor. And so that's what we did. And man, they came. Glory to God. Changed our lives. Changed our whole ministry. And when you get in that kind of environment, that's when the gifts of the Spirit manifest. I don't care whether you're a teacher, preacher, or what you are. You get out there, the gifts of the Spirit will manifest. The gifts of the Spirit will manifest. Right in the middle of everything, the Spirit of God will manifest Jesus. Just right among the whole place. Glory. Say boldness.
Boldness.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I ask for it.
I believe it.
I take it.
I'm bold in the Lord.
When I know the word
that covers the situation,
then I'm bold to act on it.
Wherever I am
and whatever I'm doing, I'm Jesus to own to command.
And I will boldly respond.
Because I'm bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Ha ha ha.
Now don't be like that lion that walked up to the giraffe and said, "Roar! Who's the king of the beasts?" And the giraffe said, "Oh, you are." And he walked up to the gorilla. "Rah! Who's the king of the beasts?" The gorilla says, "Yeah, it must be you." He walked up to the elephant. "Rah! Who's the king of the beasts?" And the elephant just wrapped his trunk around his neck. And just stuck him up in the mud bank. Pulled his head up. He said, "Well, you don't have to be so rude about it just because you don't know the right answer." I was in Canoga Park, California years ago, and I had taught along these lines. And we were close to them, close them in. This was a 3-week meeting also. Had a great meeting there. And boldness and the power of the Word of God. And there was a guy, and this guy was, he was demoniac. He just came storming in that meeting. And he came up to the front door. And this young man standing out there in the front door said, "In the name of Jesus, you just stop." Well, he just decked him and come walking right on in there. Come walking right straight up to me. Walked up there to me and like to collapsed. Now, what's the difference? Maturity, number one. Number two, anointing to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this young man was to be commended for his boldness. Well, I mean, it didn't stop him. I mean, he got right up and came right on in there. And I won't go into the rest of it. It took a little while to minister to him, but we took care of business.
Amen.
But this kind of boldness that one of my favorites of all, back in the very early days, little town right south of Amarillo called Hereford, Texas. And Hereford's still not very big today. And here again, we had a 3-week meeting in an abandoned store. It was amazing. And there's people that were coming in there from, I'm telling you, and by that third week, I mean, that place was just crammed out. We just had so much fun. And it'd hold, you know, 300 or 400 people, something like that. And you start off with, you know, three. And then but anyway, the pastor of the, I think it's the First Methodist Church, anyway, Methodist Church there in Hereford. Now, he had been an alcoholic truck driver, accepted Jesus. I mean, got born again, got delivered from alcohol, praise God, loved God, and now he's pastor of that Methodist church. Well, several of his members received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what upset him was when I went into the Word and showed where Jesus went to hell. No, he said, there ain't no way, nope, I'm not going for that. And the little platform we had, it was just a little step up like this, and the whole thing wasn't as big as this center section here, and two doors right there in the back, and he just popped through those doors. Now, I'm standing on this platform, and he's still taller than me. This is a big guy, and I'm standing there looking at him, and he's frowning. And I thought to myself, Jesus, here he comes. And I said, okay. And he walked up to me. I mean, he just stormed up to me. And when he got up to me, he's still this much taller than I am. And he said, Remetke. Lonigle. And he just fell on the floor. Just praying in the spirit, just hard and fast as he could. Just praying and praying. Well, that was the end of the meeting right there. You know? And of course, he's got church members there that are just losing it. They are so thrilled. Their pastor just got baptized in the spirit, and they are so thrilled. And they're just going, he went on and 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 on. Well, he came back then the next day, and he told me, he said, I went home, went to bed. He said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I can't want to do nothing, pray in tongues. So he said, I went next door to the parsonage, and I just got on my knees, and he said, I just prayed and prayed and worshiped and worshiped and worshiped, prayed and prayed and prayed. And all of a sudden, he said, I stopped. I said, Jesus, did you go to hell? He said, you better believe it, big boy. If I hadn't, you would have. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Pastor George, would you come up and see if there's some way to close this?